your fingers to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 9, real briefly. And the title of our message is Faith is the Victory. Faith is the victory in this world. And basically, tonight God has placed it in my heart to bring you a very simple word, but that would encourage your heart. Because I know that many of us are going to trials and tribulations and very difficult situations in our own life. And it's very easy to want to give up. It is very easy to believe the lie of the enemy that God has forgotten about us. That he has forgotten about what he promised us one day. But God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And despite of how long we might have to wait, I don't know what you have been waiting on. I know that I have been waiting on some promises for a very long time. And sometimes it's very easy to want to give up. But I'm here to remind all of us, including me, that God is faithful to do what he promised you one day. And in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4 and 5, the Word of God says that whatever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen? Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And the world there talks to me about things in this life that separates us from God. And there are situations in this life that try our faith. How many of us can say amen to that? Amen. When you think that you have gotten there, the devil always throws something at you that wants to try our faith. We have been saved for 30 years. We could be saved for 40 years. We could be full of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and hallelujah all the way. Hallelujah. And the devil always finds something that he throws and sends our way to try our faith. What kind of situations, what trials are trying your faith today? And they seem to be impossible before your eyes. Is it broken relationships that are trying your faith? Is it marital problems that are trying your faith? If there is anything that can try our faith, it's marital problems. Sickness, financial problems, family problems. Because each and every one of these areas, we are very susceptible to disappointment, to heartache. But my question to you tonight is, where is your faith in each of these areas? Because Jesus has given us authority and power to overcome all the issues of this life. And he wants us to be overcomers in all that we do and in everything that comes our way. And such victory, says there, comes to those who believe. And believe one thing, not believing for the sake of believing, but believing in one truth. And that is that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith, my friends, is the victory. Faith is the victory over whatever it is that you are facing tonight. And faith in Jesus basically has three components. And the first one is this. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God is trust in who Jesus is. Do you trust who Jesus is? Because if you do trust who Jesus is, then you need to look for Jesus for the solution to any problem. Say any problem that you face. See, very easily we get tempted to take matters into our hands. I know I'm guilty of it. Many times I sit home and I analyze situations and challenges that are before me, and I start writing down me being a miracolic personality, which is a very detail-oriented personality. It's a deep thinker. And many times I find myself with a notepad and a pen saying, hey, I must do this first. I must go this first. I must talk to this person first. I must save this kind of money. And so often the Holy Spirit has to remind me, where is your trust? In yourself, in your world, or in me? Because if Jesus is the center of your faith, you must believe that Jesus is the solution to every single problem in this life. Peter professed this kind of faith in Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 68 and 69, it says that Simon Peter answered him and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can you go? To whom one can you ask for help that is going to give you the answers to what you're facing tonight? Who has the answer? But he reached a very powerful conclusion, and it was this. I have tried it all. But now I understand an important truth. Only you, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter reached a very important point in his walk with Jesus. He never always knew this. But he finally got it. Did you get it yet? Did you get the fact that Jesus is the solution to all of your problems? That the government is not the solution. Politicians, oh my word, if your faith is in politicians, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Because every single one of them from A to Z, it's a crook, it's a liar, and it's a devil.
Amen.
So where is your faith? In politicians, in government, in a doctor, in a psychiatrist, in a counselor, even more in a pastor. Because Peter finally got it. And Peter understood this. Whatever it is that I face in life, marital problems, financial struggles, sickness, the solution can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is no plan B. There is no alternative. There is no other way. The solution to this problem, hear me, whatever it is that you need, can only be found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But the problem is this. We have an enemy. Say, I have an enemy. Well, Pastor Ana, I get along with everybody. I didn't know I have an enemy. You have an enemy. That hates you with everything that there is within him. And his name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil, el diablo. Yeah. Satanás, Lucifer. And we have an enemy. And this enemy wants to exploit the areas in our life that are causing us headache, that are causing us pain and disappointment. We need to realize that we have an enemy that is smarter than you and I. So many times I hear Christians saying the devil is a dumb. The devil is not dumb.
No, he's not.
The devil is wiser and smarter than the wisest person in the earth. There's only one that is wiser than the devil, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. But other than that, no human being is a match for the devil, except if they are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have an enemy that has an objective. And we know, yes, many of us know that his objective is to kill, to destroy, and to steal. But let me present to you another objective of the devil that you might not be aware of. And it's this. The devil wants to wear you out.
Yes, yes, yes.
The devil wants to drain you of every ounce of energy within your being. The devil wants to drain the life of Jesus out of you. The devil wants to drain you emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. That's why we Christians need to be wise. And we need to take care of the temple of God, our bodies. And we need to take time to rest. Because the devil wants to wear you out. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And here, the word of God says that he, talking about the Antichrist, shall speak pompous words against the Most High. And then it says that he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. The word persecute in Hebrew actually means to wear out. So in other words, one of the objectives of the Antichrist is to wear out the life of the Christians in this world. This scripture, like I said earlier, is talking about the Antichrist, which will be released in this earth in the last days prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it is important to know this, that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. The spirit of the Antichrist is already in this world, and even more is inside the church. He's loose, and he's already at work, trying to fulfill the same objective. The Antichrist is loose in the world today, trying to wear out God's precious things, trying to discourage our hearts, trying to make us give up in our walk and in our service to Jesus Christ. And this is why the Bible gives us an amazing warning, and it's this: you must not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." One of the things that the devil does is that he tries to drag situations in our lives. Are you finding yourself dealing with a problem that does not seem to want to go away? Sometimes the problem goes away for a month, for a year, and when you least expect it, it shows up in your house again. The one behind that is the spirit of the Antichrist, because he's trying to wear you out. Are you dealing with sicknesses that get better for a while and they come back again? Are you dealing with problems in your marriage that seem to get better for a little while and then come back again when you least expect them? Are you dealing with problems at work, at home, in your family, that you pray and they seem to want to go away, and then they come back when you least expect it? The Bible says, "Does not be ignorant to the devices of the enemy." Because yes, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he also has one objective, and that is to wear you out and to drain the life of Jesus out of you. Satan feeds on the areas that we are vulnerable, that we are weak. He went and he tempted Jesus in the desert, the Son of God. And Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says that when the devil had ended every temptation, because Jesus defeated him with the word of God, but he never went away. It says there that he departed temporarily for a little while away from him. But he says, until an opportune time. You see, Satan feeds on our weaknesses. Satan exploits your weaknesses. And he delights in exploiting our vulnerable points. You must identify the weak areas in your life. David was an awesome man of God, used mightily by God to write the awesome book of Psalms, one of the most powerful books in the Bible, the book of Psalms, which are actually songs. David was anointed to be a king. He was one of the most anointed worship leaders that the world has ever known. But David had one weakness, and his weakness was lust. That's right. And because he did not cover that weakness with the power of God, and he did not fight for it every single day of his life, eventually the devil found a way to get to him and defeat him. So it's important that we identify the areas where we are vulnerable, and that we use the shield of faith against those areas. Because Satan is firing fiery darts at us every single day of our lives. And there's only one way to defeat him, and it is with the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the shield of faith. In verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is your victory, friends, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, faith in Jesus Christ overcomes this world, trusting in who Jesus is. But also, we must trust what Jesus did for us in the cross of Calvary. We must apply the shield of faith. Because now that we understand that we have an enemy that is fighting us every single day of our life and has an objective, and it is to wear you out and to drain you out of life, we must understand where the source of our faith really is. And Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, the source of your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in the cross of Calvary. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he would always be by our side, no matter what. Many times, as we face hardships in life, as we face problems and difficulties, it's very easy to hear the voice of the accuser of the brethren that comes to try to convince us that we are unworthy of God's help. But we got to know, you and I, that we have a God that is for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Even when you messed up, even when you make the biggest of the mistakes, God's grace is with you and God's love is with you. And the only thing that he expects us to do is to repent and to confess our sin before you. But he is with us no matter what. In Isaiah 43, he says, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow. Now notice that it doesn't say, if you pass through the waters. And it doesn't say if you go through the fire, but he says you are going to pass through the waters, the river, you're going to go through the river. It will happen. But when you do, remember that I am with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. It doesn't say if you go through the fire. It says when you go through the fire. Because in this life, we all, from the youngest to the oldest, are going to go through the fire. Yeah. But he says, it shall not burn, nor shall the flames scorch you. You see, what amazes me about the Bible characters is this. When we study the Bible characters in the Bible, God does not only give us his victory, hallelujah, moments. God does not only show us their strength. But when you study the characters of the Bible is very open and very honest about showing us their failures. And it's also very open about showing us their flaws and their weaknesses. You know why? Because they were people just like you and I. And yet God used them in a mighty way. And we find one like Moses. Moses was the majority of the Bible characters were very difficult. Moses was a very difficult man. And many times he felt like giving up. We find one occasion when the people of Israelite began to complain about eating manna in the desert every day. Because remember, think about having the same meal every single day of your life. Be honest with you, I became a vegetarian about a year ago for health reasons. And I'm not sorry that I went into a vegetarian diet. But sometimes I do crave eating a good hamburger. Hallelujah. Many times I do crave eating a slice of good, cheesy, hot, crispy pizza. Because when you become vegetarian, your food and your menu selection is very limited. Because basically you got to eat vegetables all your days. You got to eat fruit every day. I'm not eating meat other than fish, so my protein is mostly beans and nuts. And after a while, when you have been eating this every single day for the last year, you begin to complain. And this happened to the Israelites. Every single day, they had been eating the same food, manna. And they began to complain. They went to Moses and began to complain to the man of God. And Moses reached a point in his leadership where he wanted to give up. And he says, God, if this is the way that it's going to be, please kill me. Take me with you right now because this burden is too heavy for me to carry. But yet Moses didn't die. Moses made it. Moses fulfilled the purpose and the calling of God in his life. He was perfect, no way. There was no 1 ounce of perfection in Moses. Was he a spiritual all the way? No way, he was not. Was he praying all the way and declaring the Bible all the way? No way, he had his down times. But there was one thing that made a difference in the life of Moses. And it was the fact that he always took his burdens to God. He always went to God when he felt like giving up, when he felt frustrated, when he felt alone, when he felt betrayed, when he felt like complaining. And we all have days like that. We all do. But he took his burden to God because God was the source of his faith. And friend, you and I must learn to do the same thing. Go to God. In your tribulations and in your trials, don't go to people. Because people are not always going to be there for you. People are not always going to be understanding. People are not always going to be patient with you. But God will always love you. God will always understand you. And when you complain to God, God will even listen to your complaint. That's right. In your trials, in your tribulation, when you feel like giving up, and notice I'm not saying if, I say when. Yeah. When you feel discouraged, I'm not saying if, I say when. When you feel that there is no way out of your problem, take your burden to God, to Jesus, because he is the source of your faith. Go to Jesus and trust what he has done for you in the cross of Calvary. He died for you. He shed his precious blood for you because he loves you and he is not going to leave you in defeat. I was talking to my mother a few days ago. My parents are Cuban immigrants. They left the island of Cuba who is in a very demonic communist regime, because there is absolutely no human rights in Cuba. And they had to leave one day. They had to leave everything, their home, their job, their finances, their friends, their family. And me and my brother were little babies. And they went into a Red Cross cargo ship with nothing, absolutely nothing in themselves except the clothes that they were wearing. And my mom had a bag of maybe 5 or 6 diapers for me and my brother. That's all they left with. And they suffer tremendous, tremendous amount of challenges when they came to this country. They didn't know anybody. They didn't speak the language. And they didn't know what to do with 2 little babies. And I asked her, Mom, why did you do it? And she looked at me one day with tears in her eyes. And she says, we did it for you. And we did it for your brother. To give you a better life. To give you freedom and a hope and a future. And that reminds me so much of what Jesus did for us in the cross of Calvary. He didn't have to leave his throne of glory in heaven to come to this dying and broken and dark and wicked world. He didn't have to suffer the pain of the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. He didn't have to shed his precious blood. All he needed to do is say one word and he would have pulverized all those soldiers that were killing him. But he went through the pain of the cross for one reason and one reason alone. And it was you. It was you. He had you in mind that day. He had your name in mind that day. He had your life. He had your present. He had your past. And he had your future in his mind that day. And friends, if Jesus went through that extraordinary amount of pain for you, do you really think that he's going to leave you alone now? And he's going to leave you defeated and broken and sick and bound and lonely in whatever circumstances you are going through? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 gives us a wonderful promise, and it is, the Lord is faithful to guard you from the evil one. From the evil one. The eyes of God are upon you and upon me every single day of our life to guard us from the hand of the one that hates us. Yeah. Have faith in Jesus. Yeah. Trust in who Jesus is. Trust in what Jesus did for you in the cross of Calvary. And finally, trust in what Jesus said. Because your faith comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is going to birth faith into your soul. And we have this shield of faith to protect us from Satan's fiery darts. But we must also put on the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit. We must have those weapons in our spiritual arsenal. Psalms 119 verse 24 and 25 says it this way. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust, but revive me according to your word. See, every single one of us is susceptible to the various situations that come in this life and try our faith. Not even one of us is exempt. But we can extend the misery of the situations and the problems in our lives when we don't apply the Word of God to the situation. When we don't declare the Word of God to the situation. But on the other hand, when we declare the Word of God, when we remind God of His promises, the Word of God will revive our spirits and it will begin to change our circumstances. We must take the Word of God and apply it to whatever situations we are facing in life. Whatever situations that are bringing sorrow and distress and heartache to our souls. Because it is the word of God that revives us. See, something that amazes me about Job. And he went through a tremendous amount of pain and tribulations and trials. But Job understood the importance of being revived by the word of God. He probably experienced as much hardship and disappointments as any one of us in this room. And his testimony was that he esteemed God's word more valuable than food itself. Look at what he says in Job chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. My food has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than any necessary food. See, the word of God is more food and more nourishment to your soul than even food himself. You know, one of the things that I love about YouTube, and I highly recommend this. I've been practicing this for the last 6-7 months. There are tremendous recordings in YouTube that all they do is they repeat scriptures for about 1 hour. One of the most powerful that I found has been recorded by Benny Hinn. If you search in YouTube and you search healing prayer by Benny Hinn, if you want to write this down, he has a recording in YouTube that is 1 hour long, and he does nothing but to repeat and read out loud scriptures from the Word of God pertaining healing. And I've been trusting God for the last 2 years about healing one tendon in my ankle that takes a very long time to heal. And every time that I begin to suffer pain and discomfort, I sit down with my iPad in my living room and I hit play and repeat on that recording. And I'm telling you, as I saturate my soul with the Word of God, I begin to feel the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through my body, bringing healing and restoration and comfort. Because there is power in the Word of God. There is healing in the Word of God. The Word of God will revive us. The Word of God will revive faith within you. We must saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Apply the shield of faith as we sit and saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Friends, as we go to problems and tribulations, we must find God's purpose. We must be open to the fact that God is using that fire to build our characters. One of the saddest things about going through problems is not the problem itself. The tragedy of life is not going through problems. The tragedy of going to a problem is not learning anything out of that problem. That is the real tragedy. The real tragedy is wasting the fire of a problem and not allowing it to change us, to change our character. That is the real tragedy of a problem. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says it this way. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, the life of a Christian, anything that happens to a Christian, good or bad, is nothing more than opportunities that are given by God to fulfill his purpose and his calling in our lives. That's right. I tell you, me personally, one of the biggest things that God has used in my life to change me, to mold me, has been my own problems. There is something about the fire of a problem. There is something about the fire of a trial that is amazing when we allow God to use it in our lives. You will never be the same when you allow God to use that fire to mold us, to help us grow, and to form in us the character and the heart that
serve him. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says it this way. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. How can I glory in tribulations? Well, you will glory in tribulations when you learn this, he says. When you learn that tribulation produces perseverance. And that perseverance produces character. And that character produces hope. Friends, have you asked yourself as you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, what are some virtues that God is trying to develop in your life in the midst of whatever trying situations you are going through? Because let me repeat that again. The real tragedy is not the problem. The real tragedy is not the sickness. The real tragedy is going through a problem and remaining the same. Going through a problem, going through the fire of a problem, and not allowing that fire to mold us into the kind of people that God is calling us to be. Philippians chapter 4, 11, verse 11 and 13 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, you see, we must find contentment in adversity. In whatever state I am, Paul says, to be content. Why? Because he knew that God was in control. Friend, your life, make no mistake, is in control of the Almighty God. I know, he says, how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. And he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You see, when we are able to find contentment in the midst of our problems, then we are going to be able to put on the shield of faith, and we're going to be able to pick up the sword of the Spirit and cut the head of the enemies that are fighting us. In closing, friend, faith is the victory. Whatever it is that you are facing tonight, I don't know what it is. God knows what it is. Your faith is the victory. There can be victory in overcoming life disappointments and difficulties that you surely will experience from time to time. Where is your faith in relationship to all of the life problems that you are facing today? Because John is giving us a very important revelation. And it's this: your faith is the victory. Trust in who Jesus is. Trust in what Jesus said. And trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. And you will overcome whatever it is that life, the world, and the devil himself is throwing at you. Amen. Faith is the victory, friend. Hallelujah.